First John, fourth chapter. Not St. John, First John. Amen. Brother up in Missouri used to say, one-eyed John, two-eyed John, and three-eyed John. This is one-eyed John. Praise God. Beloved, believe not every spirit. There never has been a time of deception like today. Every move that's going on is promoted by a spirit. Either the spirit or a spirit. All confusion comes by a spirit. All worldliness comes by a spirit. All false teachings comes by a spirit. We're not aware of this, just like angels. We're not aware of angels, but they're all around us. We don't worship angels. We believe in angels. That is, we believe that they are, but they're here. Amen. They're everywhere. God's ministering spirits. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Now, the major way to try the spirits is to measure them by the word of the Lord. If the things that's happening through various teachings or whatever, if it doesn't harmonize with the Word of God. For instance, someone said to me some time ago, they were talking about a preacher declaring that he knew the day and the hour the Lord was coming. There's another group now, Christian Scientists or somebody, that's saying that he's coming December the 31st, the rapture of the church. It amazes me that God's people gets sometimes worried about some of this type of things. They don't know what they're talking about. If God was going to reveal such a thing, he wouldn't reveal it to people that don't know him through the power of his name and spirit. But he's not going to reveal that to begin with. He already said he wasn't. That's settled. No man knows. They said, well, maybe since then he's revealed it to someone. No. It wouldn't have read that way. Nobody's going to find out. They're not going to get a preview as to the day when our Lord is coming again. So I don't get excited about that in the least. I'm sort of like this happened in one of our churches. You know, we do have things happen among us sometimes that are very, very foolish. Of course, it didn't happen here, but all somewhere else, you know. This one happened in Texas. And Catherine Whitehead called me. This is several years ago now. And she said, Brother Raj, I need to talk to you. And she was almost in tears. And I said, what's wrong? And of course, she had been in our church years ago. She said, well, and someone gave out a message, they call it, in tongues, and an interpretation. In fact, the pastor of the church gave out the interpretation of the tongue. And it was that one of the young people was going to get killed in a car wreck. Now, first of all, that's not the type of messages that come forth by tongues interpretation. But anyway, she was disturbed about it, and she said, we went to him and asked him, did he know who it was? And he said, yes, but he didn't want to tell. And she pressed him, said, you've got to tell us. You know, all the mothers were frantic, and fathers too, that believed in him. And so he said, well, I'll tell you, it's Gary, her son. Gary Whitehead. This has been probably 12 years ago, maybe more. And she said, what do you think about that? I said, he's crazy as Bessie Boone. He don't know what he's doing. He don't know how the gifts operate. That's not like God. She said, are you sure? I said, I would stake, maybe that's the wrong word, but this is what I said. I would stake my ministry on that bird being wrong. Now, you know the reason I did that? Because I look into the Word of God and it does not show the Holy Ghost moving in that manner. Of course, the boy's married now and got a family. That was supposed to happen in the immediate future. Try the spirits, whether they be of God. Then there's some things you can just try with common sense. Once when I first came to Dewdrop years ago, we were in the little building then. We were at a revival with Chuck Gray. This was just a few months after we began. There was visitors that night in the church, and the seats were not nailed down. Old slatted homemade pews that we had. And during the altar service, this visitor And this is bad when it happens through visitors, but it happened that way that night. She jumped up and she squealed a scream that made you want to, you know, shudder. You know, worship and real praise is pleasant. Now, when you hear a scream come out that terrifies everybody, and babies begin to cry, and skeptics get scared, she screamed in such a way that it was not edifying. Everything should be done with edifying. Edifying. Everybody say edifying.
Yeah.
Amen. You know, like the boy at the campground sang that song, I'm a Fanatic. That wasn't too edifying. As far as I was concerned, one time, about half of that's all he'd have sung if I'd have been in charge. Just about half of it. I'm sorry, you kids like that. No, you don't. No, you don't. Not in church. Amen. They're just, I just don't like that. See, no reason for people to stand bow-legged and pick a guitar and try to sing like some of these rock stars and the words they're using. And to beat that, like that song, I can't stand it no more, going to get out on the floor and do the holy roller. Oh, my Lord. Go down to the river and going to catch me a perch. Going to go to church and watch him jerk. Can't stand it no more, going to get out on the floor and do the holy roller. That's the only time, maybe one or two times before that I told it that song been sung in his church. That's not very edifying. Don't mind catching a perch. But I'm limited on this jerking business. Everything be done to edification. Let's praise the Lord. Will you say God? This girl in the Dewdrop Church, she jumped up and screamed, and her heels was making 95 miles an hour on the floor, and she turned the seat over and made the awfulest noise and the distraction from the altar service back to her. And I went back and picked up the seat, set it up, got her by the hand, led her around, set her down. Never said a word to her. She lost her victory. Now, I believe in shouting, but I don't believe that one person ought to absorb the whole thing. All the attention. Oh, we have attention lovers today. They'll do anything in the world to get attention. They're like a spoiled kid. They'll just do anything to get attention. Amen. But, of course, that's in Texas. That's not in this church. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God. I didn't have to look in the Bible to see about that old gal. I knew she was of the wrong spirit. Just the natural understandings. My spirit and hers didn't line up. But then he said, try the spirits, because there are many false prophets that are gone out into the world. And if there were many false prophets 2,000 years ago, don't you think you can believe and feel assured there are many false prophets today? Many false prophets today. You say, what is a false prophet? Someone that prophesies falsely. That's deep, isn't it? But it's amazing how people will swallow hook, line, and sinker some false teaching that does not harmonize with the Word of God. You know, it's amazing how many people will follow someone who claims to have the gift of healing. This may be real technical to you, but did you know the Bible doesn't say anything about the gift of healing? It said gifts of healing. To whom are the gifts bestowed? Upon the one that is sick, through the prayer of a righteous man. But the righteous man becomes unrighteous when he wants to claim, I've got the gift of healing. He was only a channel for the time right then. Not necessarily for tomorrow or next day, but for the time that the gifts of healing came from the Spirit of God to the sick person, to the afflicted person, he was that channel. Gifts of healing by the same S-P-I-R-I-T, capital S, by the Holy Ghost. Gifts that belong to the Holy Ghost. If you want more healings and more miracles and more tongues and more interpretations and more prophecy, the real thing, just get more active in the Holy Ghost. You can't go to school to learn it. You can't go to youth camp and learn how. You can't go to camp meeting to learn how. You can't go to a seminar and learn how to speak with tongues. You can't go to a seminar and learn how to heal the sick. You may learn more about God's Word, but you only learn healing through your activity in the Holy Ghost. Let's worship God for a little while. A lot of people don't know this. Amen. A lot of people don't know this. Amen. There are many false preachers, false teachers in the land. We had a rally a few years ago now at Dumas. I went in, I saw the fellow's blackboard, and he had the eighth chapter, I believe, of Daniel on the blackboard, and I thought, uh-oh. I mean, nothing wrong with the eighth chapter of Daniel, but I knew where we were headed for that night. So he taught us that the rapture of the church was going to take place 3 years ago, April 15th. If it did, we're in bad shape. Jay McCaskey got upset, and he went downtown, got him a hamburger, come back, and he's still teaching. I stuck it out, but I was upset. It upsets me when I hear somebody preaching things that are not true. You say, how did you know it wasn't true? By the Spirit of God and by the Word of God. I mean, he may be a good man, but he's a false prophet. I'd hide my face. Or I'd be man enough to do what was that guy's name? Willie Day Smith. Remember Willie Day? He was on the radio every day saying the Lord is going to come some time ago. I think that's 3 years ago also. He told us goodbye on Friday. Unless we met him in the rapture on Monday, we'd not see him anymore. He was gone forevermore. He figured it out by the 50 hostages in Iran and by 120 days, 120 people that were gathered together on Pentecost and by the 12 tribes. And I don't know what. He had all kinds of figures and he matted them together and took the square root of them or something and come up somehow with a number of days, a number of years. And you know, some of our folks, some of our own people asked me, said, you think he might be right? I knew he wasn't right. But here's one good point about old Willie Day. I never met him. I don't know him. But I went down to the station on Friday when he was going to leave on Monday in the rapture. And I said to the management there, I said, well, I guess you're going to lose that bill. And they said, what bill? And I said, Willie Day, he's going to leave Monday and you won't have time to collect. They said, would you believe he's paid up in advance? So that kind of slapped me in the face, but I still didn't think he knew what he was talking about. About 2 weeks later, the station got a letter, and I read it. And he said, I offer an apology for the prophecy that I did on your station. I was wrong, and I'm sorry, and I'll not be calculating the coming of the Lord anymore. I tip my hat to a man that's big enough to do that. Whatever he believed and whatever he tried, I appreciate the fact that he was honest enough that he came back and admitted he was wrong. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Many false prophets in the land. They've been prophesying for years that Los Angeles is going to fall off in the ocean. And it's very possible it might. But before they start prophesying that, the archaeologists have already figured that out. It's going to happen eventually. And then some of these preachers come by wanting to get more mail and more stuff off the radio and off the television. They come up with this thing and almost put a deadline on it. Well, God has not given us the spirit of prophecy to bring fear or to prophesy a lot of stuff that's known by the genealogists to begin with, or geologists, whatever they call. What are they? Geologists, all right. Hereby know ye the spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now what John is really saying here is the spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. The big issue was God manifested in the flesh? The church taught it, the rest of the world denied it. Praise God. But Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, and he said every spirit. We know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, he is not of God. If you understood that just as it is, Jesus is Jehovah's Savior. And anyone who does not confess that Jehovah's Savior is come in the flesh and the man of the Christ Jesus in the man Christ Jesus. He is not of God. If they try to make him a secondary person, that prophet is not of God. If they try to make him God Jr., our Lord is not God Jr. He's the first and he's the last. He's the beginning and he's the ending. He's the Alpha and he's the Omega. He which was and which is and which is to come, the Almighty. Praise God forever. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus, Jehovah Savior, Christ, the Anointed One, the Messiah, is come in the flesh, is not of God, and this is the spirit of Antichrist. This is the spirit of Antichrist. And you have heard that it should come. What? The spirit of Antichrist. People are still looking for Antichrist to come, and they're surrounded by it. And it's getting worse every day, and it'll continue to get worse until our Lord comes to take his church away. Listen to this. And even now, already, is it in the world. 2,000 years ago, at least 1900, even now, the spirit of Antichrist is already in the world. Sure, it's in 1986. No question about that. If there is a 1987, it'll be worse. Then it'll wax worse and worse. I'm going to tell you about this end time revival. It sounds real good and makes us shout when you hear it start talking about all the Methodists and Baptists and Church of Christ and Catholics, and I'm not fighting anybody, but you hear this over our pulpit sometimes, about all these people that's going to come in. We're going to have a great landslide revival. The Word of God doesn't teach that. I mean, there's going to be people saved as long as the church is here, but you just well figure on it. It's not going to be a land. It wasn't in the days of Noah. That old boy preached about 120 years and only had 8 souls saved. I'm not a pessimist. I'd like to see a worldwide revival, but according to the Word of God, it doesn't teach that things is going to get better and better along this line, but sin is on the rampage and the Antichrist is going to enlarge itself, and hell itself is enlarging itself to receive them that are coming its way. So, all of that is to tickle ears that want to hear, prophesying to us what we want to hear. Now, I want to talk on this second word, beloved, believe, not every spirit. And I want to talk just about the word believe for just a little while tonight. There is a difference in believe and belief. You understand me? You can have a belief that don't weigh anything. You can say, I'm apostolic. That's my belief. But it doesn't move you to do anything. But if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, this, I call it the blessed verb. It has action, like all verbs. Believe is a action word. And you look back in the New Testament when people came into the church, when they believed, it moved them to do something. You can't believe New Testament-wise on the Lord Jesus Christ without accepting his plan, his life, his death, his burial, his resurrection into our life. True believing moves you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now, you can believe or have a belief about a lot of things that is nothing but an argumentative belief. But to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, let's go to Acts 16. Acts 16 and 31. Now, here is something that a lot of people talk about today, about this fellow getting saved, and all he did was believe. That's all that Paul and Silas told him to do, was just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. There's more to it than that. Now, you get ahead of me. That's good, though. And this you need to know when you meet the fellows on the job and so forth. Now, Then the jailer, called for a light. I'm reading verse 29. And sprang in. I don't guess that has any great spiritual significance, but what does it mean, he sprang in? Huh? Hurry, jump. Give us a demonstration. Oh, that's not good enough. You got to help on that one. He come running in. He come tearing into the place. Excited. Amen. And came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. And brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, comma. And, what's the rest of it? Thy house. Now, we're not talking about a wood or brick house here. We're talking about his household, his family. Isn't that right? So let's take it literally, like a lot of our people try to do, and they try to stop on the word saved. If y'all don't like Bible study, I'm sorry. That's what we do on Wednesday night. And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, comma, and thy house. You mean if the jailer believes, he'll be saved, and his kids will be saved, and his wife will be saved on his belief. Well, if you were going to take this literally, word for word, and not take it in the setting in which it is, that's exactly what you'd have to believe. Not only would Brother Bernard be saved by believing, but Marcel and her, Dana, and Chris, the whole family, even Sean, would be saved on Bernard's believing. That's not right. Sean will have to believe for Sean. Dana has to believe for Dana. And when Chris comes in, he'll have to believe for Chris. Marcel has to believe for Marcel. Amen. And the rest is, of course, tells us that. And thy house, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord. We're not dealing with the household yet. And them, and to all that were in his house. They spake unto him, the jailer, and to all that was in his house. You know what happened next? And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God. And all his house, he and his household, believing, they were believing in God. And when it was day, the magistrates, I missed something, didn't I? Verse 33. And he took them, the man and his family, the same hour of the night, before they had supper, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. I'm glad this 16th chapter reads that way, because that emerges with Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That emerges with Mark 16:15. Go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Hallelujah. Well, glory. No more action. These signs shall follow them that have a belief. A lot of folks have belief, don't have any signs follow. But those that believe, signs like these, cast out devils, speak with new tongues, take up serpents, if they drink any deadly things, shall not hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Hallelujah. It's not confined to just those signs, but these signs are, you could say, signs of this type. Amen. Outstanding miracles and signs will follow the church. Amen. Now, let's go to the 8th chapter of Acts, where Philip went to Samaria, and he did some powerful preaching. We don't recognize Philip as a preacher until the 8th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. We see him. Most people feel like he was a deacon. It doesn't say that those fellows that were chosen to see about the needs and the gripes and the petty cries of those that were feeling they were being neglected. But most people feel that he was a deacon. Let it be. Give us more deacons that knows how to preach. He went into Samaria, a new field. Nobody had ever been there talking about the kingdom of God, except, to my knowledge, except Jesus himself. And at the time Jesus spoke to the woman in Samaria, the well, the Holy Ghost was not yet given. But he laid a foundation for revival that was later to come. She heard Jesus' words, And he said unto her, you told the truth. You don't have a husband. You've had five. My words. But that thing you're living with, he's not your husband. Now then, praise God. Many miracles took place. You know what he preached? Jesus. The name of Jesus. The kingdom of God and the name. And miracles begin to take place. That's all you have to preach. Somebody said, "Well, we're living in a new day. We're going to have to get, something new." That's not right. We don't need anything new. We need what's been for the last 1900 years. We need to enlarge upon this. How great thou art has never become old to me, because it's saying about my Jesus. The plan of God has never grown old to me. I still want a little bit more of real repentance preached. I'd like to see repentance preached from this pulpit in such a way that it would break people up. I'm hungry to see someone come to an altar crying because they see themselves. People come to the altar chewing their wax and looking around like, look here what the church caught. They caught a good catch when they got me. We don't have anything. We need somebody to get broken up before God and see themselves unclean and unfit. That's the reason that Jesus died, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name among all nations beginning at Jerusalem. So Philip started preaching. He preached the things pertaining to the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus. The evil spirits went out. Many miracles were performed, and he baptized a number of people. And he baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. When they believed, they were baptized. Believing has action in it. Somebody said, well, I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, but I don't want to be baptized. You don't believe right. That's not believing. I mean, believing is full surrender and obedient to the plan of God preached. All the thing it would take to get me to be baptized in the name of Allah. All the thing it takes me to be baptized, calls me to be baptized in the name of Allah, is that someone get this book and prove to me from the Word of God that I should be baptized in the name of Allah. Of course, I'm not in any words. It's not in there, and you know it's not in there. And I went to that extreme to tell you, but if they could read to me in chapter and verse that I should be baptized in the name of Allah, then I would be the first candidate here tonight to say, baptize me in the name of Allah. Now, I can't read that, but I can read to you where it tells you to be baptized in the name of Jesus. And if I wasn't baptized, the tank is ready, and I'd be baptized tonight. Brother Johnny, or Brother Mark, or Brother Sam, or Brother Howard, or even A.O. Wilson, he's had me baptize people before. At least one. I know one in particular, is one I'm thinking about. This little fat, that's a bad word, that little fleshy black woman that came and wanted to be baptized, and this tank was on wheels and had it over this for your day, brother. But we had this tank over in the education building. It's been everywhere. We baptized them out here in the backyard. Lights flipping on, people coming out looking to see what's going on at 10 o'clock at night with baptized. Hey, this is one of the baptized right out here. We had it in the education building, and this little woman was so short and all, I was afraid I couldn't raise her up. And so I said, Brother Wilson, he's just fresh out of Mobile, Alabama. Not too many years. And I said, you may have to stay on the other side and have me lift her up. He didn't think too much about the ideas. Any way you look at it, but so much for that at that time. Of course, he didn't come over. But we put her down, and she slipped out of my hand, and she wiggled and jumped and rolled and splashed. I got a towel full of Bill Wilson, didn't he, out on the suit, and she just drowned him. I mean, she throwed that water all over. Got away from us and got down the floor. And you talk about get out on the floor and do the whole roll. She got out on the floor and rolled and rolled and flat. All right, we baptize in Jesus' name. Faith will move you. Believing, faith, believing, faith and believing, you know, you're talking about the same thing. James says, show me your faith without works.
I show you my faith.
Right.
I made a mistake on that scripture years ago. I was a young preacher at the Dewdrop Church.
When I came to Dewdrop, I was only 26 years old. And so I was teaching one day, and I said, Paul said, show me your faith without works. I'll show you my faith by my works. The meekest, most humble little woman in the church, Sister Hattie Hollis, I've never forgotten. She raised her hand. She said, Brother Rubbins, that was James. Yes, ma'am. I have never forgotten. It was James who said, show me your faith without words. She didn't reprove me. She didn't rebuke me. But boy, she taught me a lesson. When you're going to say, like the brother of the night, you're a preacher. I'm not criticizing him. He's a fine young preacher. But he said Paul, when he wrote the book of Peter, then he stopped me and said, whoever wrote it, you know. I said, Peter, he said, well, that settles it. But that's part of our training. And I'm still learning. I make a few mistakes once in a while. But when I do, it's me. It's not the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now, when Philip baptized these people, we learn later that he baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Same chapter. It makes it real plain that they had believed on the Lord enough to be baptized. They had not yet received the Holy Ghost. Now when the apostles, which were in Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now, these people had heard the word of the Lord. They had not yet received the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were, that means had been, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Hey, what about these folks say you get the Holy Ghost at accepting Christ as their Savior? Or what about those folks that say you get the Holy Ghost when the minute you're baptized? Whether you speak in tongues or not, if you're baptized, you get the Holy Ghost. You know what I'll start out on today? Many false prophets in the land. Many false spirits in the land. And this is, for as yet the Holy Ghost would fall upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, someone jumped me on this one time ago and said, see, there it didn't say they spoke with tongues. Just read the rest of it and say, how did Simon know that he didn't get it and they got it? And go back to the words of Jesus and to the words of Isaiah, who said they would speak with tongues. And I might tell you that, in fact, Brother Johnny Priest and Brother Clipper's church last Sunday night, he came in and he said, we had one receive the Holy Ghost. He didn't tell me he spoke in tongues. He didn't say anything about that. He did. I knew he did when he said he received the Holy Ghost. I mean, that's just like shoes. Tongues go with it. You don't go and sell and buy a pair of tongues. Amen. I want to buy shoes. If you get shoes worth anything, you got tongue in them. Now, don't stick your shoe up to me and say, mine don't have no tongue in it. You got the wrong kind. Let's stand together and praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Honor God tonight. Thank God you're on the right track.